last week, Paul solemnly charged Timothy to minister in a certain way to others. And might be able to see not his responsibility to others, but his responsibility for himself. And then, if I'm still talking, you'll see Paul's accomplishments and what Paul says about himself. So let's read. I want you to see a comparison of the two things in chapter 3, look at 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof. Now, look at verse 2 in chapter 4. Preach the word. Be urgent in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and walk with all long suffering and teaching. Notice that two of the three words, reprove and teach, are in chapter 4. And in chapter 3, the word God is equally important to us in chapter 4. Alright. Now, the reason that he's to do these things for others is verse 3. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears for people themselves teachers, having their own lusts, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside from the fables. Alright, if this is so, then you just do this. Why do anything about it? Because when you preach the word or reprove and rebuke, you can delay the time that's coming. You can strengthen those all the time when it's done, and prepare them and enable them to successfully go through this time and not be taken. Now, look at verse 5. And this responsibility to others is fourfold. Now, the responsibility that Paul lays on Timothy is also fourfold. Be thou sober in all things, suffer hardship, be the work of an evangelist, fulfill thy ministry. If he has reproved the duty for with all long suffering and doctrine of others, himself is to be sober, to suffer hardship, to do the work of an evangelist, to fulfill his ministry. Now, Paul is telling why, Christian, for I am already being offered. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept faith. Thank you for the great opinion of the righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give you in that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his gift. A word of prayer. Our Father, we pray that somehow, these lambs and sheep shall receive a blessing from what we've read and what other things we have to say. So in 2 minutes, we're able to read these scriptures, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Notice what we're at all is exhorting Timothy to do. Look at verse 7. He says, I have done. He is not telling Timothy to mend his failure, but to continue his faithfulness. And in the light of that, when an old man is going off the scene, a young man is to take his place and to continue the work that he's begun. It's always been that way. Notice that when God had Moses, my servant is dead, and he raised up Joshua. Now, in like manner, you'll find that the Apostle Paul is about to glorify God by the manner of death, and he's going to die. And he does not want the truth of God to cease with him, but he wants it to be carried on. Remember what he said. The things which I have heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so now Timothy is to begin. And this is what I found. At one time I was a young man, and there were two generations in the gap before my time to me. There were those that were older than I was, my father and mother, and then there were those older than me, my grandfather and my grandmother. And I saw my grandmother and my grandfather die, so there was still one barrier. And then I saw my father and my mother die, and there was no barrier. And so now I am the barrier. And when you get in the 70s, you will be too. But now your fathers and mothers are living, there's one barrier between you. Well, now, here is the Apostle Paul, and he is going to be taken away, and there is no barrier. But Timothy is the one who is the oldest, and soon he will be telling others to continue the work that he himself has taken up, that Paul began. This is what Paul says, Timothy. He said, I told you what to do for others, but it does not mean that you're free of responsibility. I want you to be sober. And the word to be sober means not to be drunk. It's just that simple. And so there is sobriety. If a man is drunk, he's not aware of what's coming on. He's not aware of danger. But Paul says, I want you to be sober. I want you to be watchful and see these things that I'm telling you are going to come to pass. And so this is responsibility laid on Timothy. Before Paul could look, and he could see, and he could warn Timothy. And now he says, you must be sober, you must be level-headed, and you must be able to look out and evaluate the situation. You be sober. And then he said this, suffer hardship. Now, this is something that we choose to do or not to do. Do you remember? In Mark chapter 15, there was one man that was following Jesus, and he grabbed him. And when he grabbed him, he slipped out of the cloak he had around him, and he ran naked. And also, you remember, the disciples that forsook the Lord and followed him, said they were not willing to suffer hardship. But Paul is telling Timothy that I want you to suffer hardship as I suffer hardship. And if you accept it, then your life will be one life in the Paul's. And if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11 to chapter 12, you'll say, I understand why this exhortation is needed, the sufferings, the hardship that Paul went through. And he says again and again, he says, suffer hardship with me, suffer hardship with the gospel. So there is suffering if you're going to carry out the will of God. Sobriety and suffering. And then, do the work of an evangelist. That's what the world needs. Go to all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel, euangelizo, means the bringing of good tidings. And so, this gift that Timothy had, he wants to carry it out. He wants to function as an evangelist. But more than that, he was to fulfill his ministry. You'll find that Paul said, I am an apostle. He said, I am a teacher. And also, I am a preacher. There were many gifts. And evidently, Timothy has the ability to evangelize. I've also had further gifts. And he says to him, fulfill my ministry. And so what God says to Timothy, he says to us, we're to be sober. We're to accept suffering. And also, whatever gift God has given us, we are to fulfill it. And the rest of the ministry that the Lord has placed upon us, we are to carry it out. I want to tell you this, it's so beautiful. The Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20, and now we will consider what Paul says concerning himself. I fought the good fight. I finished my course. I kept faith. He says in Acts chapter 20, he said, I hold not my life as in the account dear unto myself, that I may finish my course in the ministry which the Lord Jesus Christ has given unto me to testify the gospel of grace. God. Look at two things. He says, my course, what I want to do is to finish that course. And he says, and I also want to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So notice the two things that are placed before Timothy are those things that the Apostle Paul received into his own life, and God wanted those things to be done as well. Paul had a course to run, and he had a ministry to be fulfilled. Now, look down at verse 7. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. How sad if you come to the end of your life and look back and think of the things that you failed to do. All the things that you should have done, you did not do. None had no time to complete. How much better, look, when you're ready to leave this world and go into the next, to be able to say this, verse 7, I've fought the good fight. It's not I fought the good fight, but I fought the good fight. Not I just put up a good fight, but I fought the good fight. The good fight that is that of the child of God. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Therefore, the Christian life is life as a three thing. It is this. I have fought the good fight. Then the Christian life is a fight. I have finished my course. Then the Christian life is a race. I have kept the faith. The Christian life is a trust. And God expects all of these things to occur in our lives and to be carried out in our lives. First of all, I fought a good fight. It's not just pugilism, because the same word is used about all striving in prayer. And so that's part of the good fight. And also, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. There is the fighting, the wrestling, the encounter with the unclean, wicked spirits in the world, and Satan himself. And any contest in life, the Apostle Paul says, I have fought the good fight. Whatever contests were put before him, he said, I fought the good fight. He did not run. Do you remember what happened in 1 Samuel when Goliath came out and challenged the children of Israel? Send me a man, not one of them would fight him. But David said, I will fight him. And so the Apostle Paul said, whatever obstacle was placed before me, I fought the good fight. It did not matter if the contest was a small one, an easy one, or the contest was a great one, like giants, literally like Caleb. Caleb said, let me fight giants. And the Apostle Paul said, I have fought the good fight. Thank God. That Christian life is a fight. It is a contest, an encounter. And Paul said, as he looked back over his life, I fought it. Some others would avoid it. What do you like? I'm like the children of Israel. When Goliath came forth and challenged them, I run for my life. But Paul said, not I. I remember that when the children of Israel were going to stone him to death, he told the Roman centurion, he said, set me up here so I can speak to him. I would have been so glad for the centurion to take me out. But he said, set me up here and let me speak to him. And when he finished speaking to them, they were ready to put him limb from limb. But Paul said, no. I want to fight with the fight for the option. Now, I have finished my course. This is a race. It is a race course. I remember there were young men that were compelled to be on an athletic team at school. And some of them were willing to run the marathon. But there was one who said, let me run the 100-yard dash. And that's what most of us want to do. You see, that's a simple thing, but it isn't. But there is a marathon, and there is a 100-mile race. But the Christian race is your entire life. You don't finish it till you get to the end of your life. It's not that you finish it, and then you look around and live on your laurels, but the race continues the whole life long. So what is the Christian life? It is a race, and it says, know you not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may attain. You realize that if you are called upon to preach the word of God, and I call upon to preach the word of God, I'm going to do everything in my power to preach it better than you do. Because the Bible says that all that run in a race run all. So run that you may obtain the prize, only one objective. If you have one gift, exercise it to the full. If you have two talents, to the full. Five, to the full. And God will reward you accordingly. So the Apostle Paul says, I have finished the course. Thank God. It's not like this little girl once that was watching her Uncle John as he ran around the track. Yes, at one time I was young and able to run. And she said, I'll race you around that track. I said, all right, come. And so we both started all together. And after about 100 yards, I was so far ahead. But when she got to 100 yards, she got across the racetrack and got to the finish line and was waiting for me when I got there. And so this is the way it is with some people. Paul said, concerning running races, he said, now, if a man strives for the mastery, he is not crowned unless he has strived lawfully. And that's what we have to do. No shortcuts. So the Apostle Paul says, I have finished my course. Now, he says, I have kept the faith. Here is the trust. You see, there are things that God has entrusted you with. There is truth and integrity. And the Apostle Paul says, I have kept the faith. You'll find that some that Paul speaks about, they have abandoned the faith and their lives have become shipwrecked. And that's their end. They have not kept the faith. There are some of the precious truths of the Word of God that some have cast aside. Because take a stand on marriage and adultery and divorce and remarriage, you'll see what it is. You'll see how easy it is not to hold the faith, to be faithful to the faith, to keep it, but to let it go. But all the truths of God, the Apostle Paul said, I kept. And even little Samuel that says this about it, in that none of the words of God falls down. And so as you are taught what you're to do, is to understand these responsibilities. And you're to be faithful to the truths of God. You are to be one who keeps the faith, who maintains it. And this is what God expects of us. All right. Here is one who did not keep the faith, deserting. He said his life on a shipwreck. And what does he have to look forward to? If he truly is saved, he looks at the judgment seat of Christ, and he sees wood and hay and stubble, wood and smoke and ashes is all that you have. But the Apostle Paul said, no, if I have fought the good fight, if I have finished my course, if I have kept the faith, he said, at the end of life, there is a crown of righteousness awaiting me. And for me, only, no. But for all those that have loved Christ's appearing. Now, the Bible speaks of two appearances. The appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll find in chapter 1. The Lord Jesus Christ, by his appearing, by being God manifest in the flesh, abolished death, and of life, and immortality of life. The Bible says he is going to appear a second time, apart from sin, and those that wait for him. The Apostle Paul says, and I love his appearing. Yes, his first appearing, but also that second appearing. And that is why, because he loved it. He was able to fight the good fight, to finish the course, to keep the faith. Why? Because he loves that appearing. It motivates. This is what it says in 1 John 3. The love of the children abide in him, and if he shall be manifested, he may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. That's the end of chapter 2. And it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it is not yet appeared what he shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath his hope set upon him purify himself, even if he is pure. And if you love his appearing, there will be pure in his life, and there will be continuous in the face of God, and there will be at the end of the line righteousness which God will give to you. And Paul, yes, but nothing special about Paul, even though he's an apostle. If you are faithful as he was, then God will reward you as well. So let us love these things. Let us place upon us and take upon us the responsibilities that Paul would place